I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. If you can't get out, tune in. You're listening to Out There. Yes, I am live in the studio, fiddling with buttons, as I always am at Fridays around 4 when I'm live in the studio. I'm not the only person live in the studio today. I have on mic 2.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And mic 3.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And Emily and Aaron. Well, Emily and I just met today.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And Aaron and I. How do we know each other, Aaron?
We met when you were passing through Pittsburgh. First time we met, you were just had like an hour layover on your bus.
That's right.
Heading back. And then you came to my house a month later, for summer camp at my house. We did a big yard project and we hung out. And
That's right. I met through your housemate.
My housemate came up to visit and met.
Yeah, because the solar system is a housing co-op, like the Flo-op where I live, and it's like a housing co-op solidarity, even though you're in Pittsburgh and we're in Northampton.
Yep.
Yeah. And then Emily, we just met today at Cans for Cancer. You and Aaron are traveling together.
We are. Yeah, it was so great to do Cans for Cancer.
So let me tell you what. So I've been gone for a month. I've been in Kentucky. And I just got back last night, and so I was at Cans for Cancer today. Cans for Cancer's been hard to keep up with for the last month, let me say. And so I was there today, and I was there from like 11 to 3. And I didn't do as much actual work as I could have done because I had to catch up with people. I did a lot of hugging people and saying hi to people, and so the cans were piling up. So I didn't know that you all were coming. You all showed up at like 1:30 or 2:00. I don't know what time you showed up, but it was a blessing. Let me tell you. What did you all do?
Yeah, I think we said we would catch you at some point during your day, and we showed up at 2:00. And we're like, all right, let's plug us in right now.
Yeah, so there was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, at least 6 96 gallon toters of mixed cans and bottles to empty. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful to you all for showing up.
It was a lot of fun. It was fun to help with the sorting and move the cans around.
So if any listeners are interested in volunteering at Cans for Cancer, what kind of joy did you find doing it today?
Oh my gosh, yeah, like the kind of like deep like cellular level of like Tetris like situating and sorting was those boxes all checked.
Nice. And every now and then you find a warm beer that comes in with a donation, so you might get paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there was some old, it was like 7 Up or L81 or some old classic drink that was some old glass bottles that were still full the 80s that I saw inside. Did you see those sitting on the shelf inside?
And there was a dime, too.
Oh, there was a dime. Yeah, that was the first thing you found when you came in, coming out of there. Like I just said for listeners, I have been in Kentucky for the last month with my dad, and my dad's 90, turns 91 next month, and he's slowing down. And well, I want to let listeners know that on my way back on the bus yesterday, day before, whenever it was, I'd left Kentucky. I was planning on being in Massachusetts for a couple months, but my brother texted me the day after I left and said, Jim, that's what we call it. That's what we call our dad, Jim. Jim had another fall yesterday, and he's okay, but I told him he had to go to the hospital. He didn't want to go, but I told him he had to go. And he's there now. And anyway, my brother says my dad's probably going to go to rehab for a little while, which my dad's never. He's never done that kind of thing. He's not very happy about it. And in fact, for today, what I was going to play for today's show was the sermon my dad gave at the Harlan Presbyterian Church on July 5th. So I have that recorded on my phone. But since I got live guests, we'll maybe hold that off on that for next week. But what I wanted to tell listeners is that because my intentions are to go back, be with my dad. He needs someone to live with him now at this stage in life. And I've been preparing myself psychologically and work and whatever it was So I might be gone for a while. I think that means I need to give up my show, at least for a while. I thought about trying to do it from Kentucky, but that involves a level of computer electronics work that just doesn't mesh with my brain and lifestyle and presence when I'm there.
Yeah.
So listeners can stay tuned for updates on that. I'll still have at least one more show because I got to play my dad's sermon, you know.
Yeah. Got to do at least one more week. Well,
at least one more show. No, I'll probably still have a few more shows because I'll still have, you know, you like to give 30 days notice when you leave something. Yeah. So I'm sure I'll have at least another month's worth of at least repeats. I feel bad for listeners. I've played so many repeats when I've been gone because I've been gone to Kentucky so much and they've heard the same shows. Yeah. They probably know some of the shows by memory. The regular listeners, you know who you are.
Yeah, it makes sense to stay for a while if he needs more support.
So, Aaron, you have actually been on Out There before, at least your voice.
Yeah.
From when I interviewed you when I was in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. I remember walking down the street with my dog and we were coming back from picking apples in the cemetery. And then you're like, oh, can I interview you for my show? I don't remember what it was about.
With a spotted lantern fly goop falling all over our heads. Mm-hmm. It was about bikes. That's something we have in common. Bicycles and bike shop. What's your bike project right now that you're doing?
Still just doing the bike shop. And yeah, shop's going well. I hired a person, so the shop is open even though I am not there, and that's great.
Yeah,
it's going well.
Great. And Wendy?
Emily.
I'm sorry. I don't know why.
I like that name. Yeah, actually, it's a really good one. Yeah. So Aaron and I know each other from Pittsburgh, and I might actually move into solar. That's like one thing that we're talking about too. I was going to be coming up here to be visiting a really good friend who lives in Burlington. My friend Jenna, who is doing this like queer dating show, and so we're gonna go help out with that tomorrow. Saturday night, in case. And so we were with Hannah and mentioned that Flow Op was here, so that's how we ended up coming through.
Yeah, I didn't have a great sense of the map. I don't come up this way much. I don't know this area. And we were talking about, okay, we're going to Burlington. And Hannah's like, oh, you should stop and see Ruthie. And I was like, is that on the way? Great. Okay.
Nice. Well, I'm really glad you stopped. You haven't seen my house there are 10 of us who could call it my house.
Yeah.
Or our house. The Flow Op. But maybe tonight, y'all, are you going to camp in the yard?
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, great. There rang a bell in my head that's still ringing. What was it about? I do not know. Oh, yes. So one of the things I have, interviews I have on my phone from my trip is with this guy, Jay, from Baltimore. So on my way down to Kentucky, I went via Annapolis, saw my friend Matthew with the urban farming gardening project he's doing in Annapolis called Joy Grows. I have an interview with Matthew that I still haven't played from last year, but I did get this. I have this fresh interview with Jay. Jay is a neighbor, friend of Matthew's. I met him on my way to Kentucky at the Annapolis stop. And he's part of something called Bike Powered Events out of Baltimore. So let me play that interview with Jay, and let me see if, you know what, listeners, you know how bad I am with buttons and all. Let's see if this will play. Yeah. It's the 21st of June, 2026. Jay, what's your name?
I'm Jay Sullivan.
And wait, is today the solstice?
Yes, it is.
Where are we?
We are in Annapolis, Maryland, on Little Burley Creek.
Okay. Part of the Chesapeake Bay?
Yeah, we're on the Chesapeake Bay, sitting under a black oak tree, with a 4-year-old Sally nearby, looking down into the marsh.
So Jay, you live in Baltimore. What? Tell me about the pedal-powered events.
Yeah, so I work for a company called Bike Powered Events, and we put on bike-powered experiences at different events all over the country. We're based in Baltimore, and we make smoothies is one of the most popular things we do. We have some blenders, and you pick either strawberry mint lemonade or banana mango oat milk cardamom smoothies to pedal for 15 seconds and you get a smoothie out of it. So we'll go to health fairs and different festivals, community events, all different kinds of places to help people blend their own smoothies. And then we'll also do bike-powered spin art and bike-powered bubble machines. Then we also have something called Rainbow Riders, where you race against somebody else to get a light to the star before them.
Like LED lights that they light up. Like
yeah, exactly.
Like when they have the fair where you slam down on the sledgehammer where the thing goes boing, the harder you slam, the higher the thing goes.
Exactly, that sort of, yeah.
So on days that you work, what might a day look like when you're doing an event? What do you actually do?
Sure, yeah. So I have one tomorrow, actually, at a hotel in D.C. We go and to the warehouse, load in all the frozen fruit we need, the bikes into our van, and drive out. Most of the event is kind of load in and load out, and then activation time is up to 4 hours where we will be slinging smoothies and biking for the people, or encouraging people to bike themselves, but if they don't want to, we'll do it for them. No electricity. It's all just pedal powered. Our workshop in Baltimore and Woodbury we have a whole R&D wing where we're inventing new things that can be powered by bikes, like a silent movie Charlie Chaplin film that you can change the speed of based on how fast you're pedaling. And it's a really cool group of people, a lot of artists from Maryland Institute College of Art, and different DIY bike makers and organizers around the city.
How did you find out about it or get involved?
Through my roommate's friends, just kind of in the art scene around Baltimore City, and got involved by finding myself in a point where I could go help out a couple of days a week at bike powered events, and I love the
land they're trying to hide it from.
Oh yeah, the community of it is my favorite part, because while we're going to these events, you also just get 8 hours in a car with someone, usually going to DC, or just these one-on-one wonderful conversations with other bike enthusiasts or people, artists, or whoever's working there. That's probably my favorite part. Also,
how long have you been doing it, and how long has the business been around?
About 10 years. So Natan Lawson is the owner and CEO, president of the company. He started just at, I think, the Abel Street Fair in Baltimore City, and people were really into it and thought to himself, you know, maybe there's a business here. So he started expanding, going up to New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, and he kind of pivoted a little bit in the pandemic and changed their organization. But yeah, now we have about, I think, 20-ish employees, all some event staff, operations staff, R&D staff, a whole crew of people.
How long have you been doing it?
Since February, yeah.
Okay.
I just started this year.
Okay. And I don't know if it's okay if I bring up personal things, but you were saying yesterday how you're having some car trouble.
Yeah. So I I recently got into an accident and am considering maybe going without a little car for a while, and feeling like maybe also inspired by the community of bike-powered events and other bikers around the city to get rid of my car. I don't really need one. Where I'm also, my other job, it's kind of a pain to park anyways. And e-bikes are becoming more and more of a popular mode of transportation, partly also because the public transit system in Baltimore leaves something to be desired. So I'm thinking maybe e-biking would be the way to go for a little while. I've always been a huge bike advocate in the city, and attend Bike Party monthly in Baltimore, which is a really fun event. Every month it's a different theme, and it's a different route that usually ends at a brewery or in some party, but it brings out everybody, which is part of what I love about it, that it's like every biker in the city and all different backgrounds and come together for this, hundreds of people just kind of kind of like critical mass or something. Yeah, mobbing the city and going a route. People are usually really into it, drivers, but we do get occasional honkers and disgruntled drivers. But yeah, it's a really great movement within Baltimore and a great community building event. Yeah, I think also coming up is Cyclescape is a big bike art festival that happens in August every year in Baltimore City, where people, like a lot of DIY bikers who are welding their own kind of freak bikes, will come together and do put on a big art festival in near Lake Montebello.
What day of the month is bike party?
It is, I think it's the last Friday of every month. It could also be the first Friday of every month.
That's the traditional critical mass day, is the last Friday of the month.
Okay, yeah, it's probably last Friday.
In Northampton, it's the third Thursday of the month.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but it's not nearly that big. It's usually 10 or 15 or 20 people in Northampton. Cool. Anything else you want to
say? Hello, Northampton. Love your city. I would get excited to go back.
Cool. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Prefer.
Yeah.
Just sit there and I'll write it down when I'm doing the editing.
Okay. It is.
Oops. I neglected to edit that clip. So he was even giving me his email address, which maybe wasn't meant to go live. So there's a little bit more to that clip, but we'll cut it there. I think the more of it was me saying something about the irony of bike powered events being so car and vehicle and van and driving centered.
Yeah.
And not very like practical in that way. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie, here live in the studio with Aaron and Emily.
Manera descomplicado en una bici que me lleva a todos lados. Un vallenato desesperado, una cartica que yo guardo donde te escribí que te sueño y que te quiero tanto.
Shakira with Carlos Vives out of Colombia. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. I'm your host, Ruthie, live in the studio with Aaron and Emily visiting from Pittsburgh. So Aaron, you were saying your trip, how'd you get here?
Yeah, so on Monday, Emily said, there was an idea, it was Emily's birthday this week. And I said, hey Emily, you wanted to go camping for your birthday on Tuesday? And Emily said, I don't know, I don't think I have it together to do that, but maybe I want to drive to Vermont. do you want to come?
And you're talking about camping locally versus driving?
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Like, so we were, I was like, you know, I say no to everything. I'm always like, my whole life is so busy, but I think I can rearrange everything. Things aren't too busy at my shop right now.
You've got the new employee.
I've got a new employee. She said it was fine to leave for a week. I was like, you know, yeah, I'll come on this trip. And so we had a couple days and we planned a little bit, but not very much. Mm-hmm. And then we left yesterday morning from Pittsburgh, and that was great. And mm-hmm. then not long after we left, the wildfire smoke rolls in. Mm-hmm. So we're planning to camp somewhere between there and mm-hmm. here, and then get here sometime today and mm-hmm. visit with you, Ruthie. But mm-hmm. The smoke was so thick in central Pennsylvania, like we couldn't see the mountains in front of us, and it felt pretty rough to be outside. Mm-hmm. So we drove a bit further than we were planning to, and we ended up staying with Emily's dad in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we were like trying to track like air quality and like wind patterns and be like, how far do we have
can
to
we
go
get past this?
We can, where we can sleep outside, and as we would be spending time outside, we'd be like, oh, we are getting headaches very instantly. And I lived in Washington State for like 15 years, and with wildfires became like increasingly common, and so I wasn't used to that here.
Was the smoke bad here?
Well, I was also traveling in Pennsylvania yesterday.
Yeah.
And so I'm like around Philly.
Yes.
But Wednesday is when everyone says here in Northampton on Wednesday, it was like we experienced in Pennsylvania yesterday.
Yeah.
But it moved through a little bit.
Yeah. But you were there with us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like on the bus yesterday when we left Philly heading towards New York. I was already kind of disoriented because I was kind of sleep deprived from being on the overnight bus, mm-hmm. or I don't even know where I came. I've just been traveling, and I was trying to figure out. Like I was falling asleep and waking up, put my head on, and then at some point I was like, "What is it like 5 or 6 in the evening?" Because I hadn't seen the sun for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it was noon.
Mm-hmm. It is really disorienting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But okay, well, I'm going to jump around a little bit, but I do have a little story from Kentucky. So when I go to Kentucky to live with my dad, it calls many things into question, like my sense of purpose in the world, because it's really isolating. And I know it's important and I want to be there with my aging parent who I have a good relationship with, and I'll be crushed when he passes on to the next world and wonder why I did not get every ounce of knowledge out of him that I could have before he disappeared with it. But but when I go there, I remember the last time I was there, I spend most of my time in the garden on the mountains. My parents have a or my dad, my family has a couple hundred acres of mountainside. My mom died 7 years ago. But it's rural southeastern Kentucky, Appalachian Mountains, beautiful, beautiful animals, brother, wife, niece, nephew, other relatives that are there. And the animals, I just like the animals are my friends. And the toad that for like 4 days, this big toad that hung out right on the step coming out the basement door every night, there it would be. And the wasps that just sort of hang out and pollinate things and mind their own business. Like there was a wasp. I was replacing the rotten boards on my dad's deck, and there was one board. It wasn't rotten yet because I'd already replaced it like 2 years ago. So I didn't need to replace it. I just needed to move it. And I realized when some wasps suddenly came out from while I was on top on my knees, I was like, oh, there must be a wasp nest under there. So I went underneath and looked. And yeah, there's a wasp nest. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, can I pry up this board, pull out the nails, move it over 3 inches, and put it back down without disturbing these wasps? And I like slowly, carefully did that.
Wow.
And they never flew out of their nests, really, to let me know they were upset.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. But okay, so back to the story. So one day I was, one of those really hot days when it was really hot up here in Northampton. It was hot in Kentucky. It wasn't like 104. It was like 98 or something. It's not that bad there because there's not asphalt and all that.
Up in the mountains is not.
no paved road in sight. Mm-hmm. But I.
The ground doesn't hold the heat
exactly,
in the same way.
Exactly. So much different. So I thought, oh, well, I'll go hoe the garden in the shade of the 5 foot tall corn. The corn is about 5-6 feet tall. And the beans and weeds were about 2 feet tall. So I was hoeing out there, hoeing all the galanzoga and the different weeds out of the beans and reaching down and pulling some out. And I'd been doing that for like 15, 20 minutes, moving on down the row. And at some point, I was in my bare feet. And at some point in my bare feet, I felt something cool and damp on the top of my foot. And I looked down expecting to see a frog. Uh-huh. And I looked down, but no, what I saw was the tail end of a copperhead slithering across my foot, disappearing under the beans.
Oh, my God.
And I watched it go, and then I said, and then I went about 20 feet down to another part of the garden to weed the tomatoes and move some bamboo stakes around. I moved one of the bamboo stakes that was lying down. And a wasp came shooting out the crack, stung me on the wrist. And I thought, I have never been so happy to be stung by a harmless little wasp before.
Yeah, we'll take that over the copperhead.
Yes.
Yeah. And then that night I was looking online about, you know, what should you do if you get bitten by a copperhead? Because there's lots of copperheads around. You know, the snakes in
rural... Yeah, it's good to be ready.
It's good to be ready. You know, snakes in rural area, that's like, sometimes I'm like, what if I had x-ray vision and I could see all the snakes that were living around the yard? Oh, no. No, thank you. No, thank you.
It's better not to know.
Better not to know. But I was looking online, like, what should you do if you get bitten by a copperhead? And they say, copperheads won't kill you, but you'll wish they had. Because they're so painful.
Wow.
Yeah, they where they bite you, whatever their venom does, it makes all your blood vessels burst.
Oh.
It dissolves them or something like that. And so if you don't get to the hospital and get anti-venom,
you could
like lose the lose that flesh. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't typically go systemic. It doesn't like kill you, but it's very, very painful.
Wow. What an incredible run-in just to have it slither over your foot. Like
I know,
that.
I know. Yeah, then a few days after that, I was walking by the tractor shed and I was going in a certain direction. I was coming back from taking the goats up to the pasture, and I was going a certain direction. And then I made a right angle turn, decided to go another direction. And then there's this copperhead that slithered right in front of me, and then it went right under the place where I have my human urine bucket.
No.
Now relax in one of those situations. Uh-huh. I don't think so. But I do. Copperheads are known for being docile. And I've had many docile.
Yeah, so you just got to be careful not to get in their way too much.
Mm-hmm. Don't step on them.
Don't step on them.
They
can
walk
across
you.
Yeah.
You don't walk across them. Yeah. Wow. Well, I have another clip from Kentucky. So I was in Kentucky over the 4th of July, which there were other celebrations in the country, I heard, on 4th of July. Did you all do anything special?
apparently.
So the first Saturday of every month, I have a bike ride out of my bike shop. We decided to do that one pool ride. We were trying to go to two pools, but it was really stormy. So only three people came and biked with me. So four of us, we met up at the bike shop and we rode up to a couple miles up the hill to a pool. And we jumped in that pool and we were hanging out for like 10 minutes. And then the plan was to spend maybe 20 minutes there and then bike to another pool and then wrap up. But then there was thunder and a storm rolled in and it started pouring. And we biked in the thunderstorm a bit because we're like, oh, we're already wet. It doesn't seem like actually close enough to be dangerous. And we went and got ice cream.
Yeah.
And that was my 4th of July celebration. Then I went to bed.
There was an event in Pittsburgh. This artist put on this Mothering the Exiled, and it was like a slumber party, like for like the kind of anti celebration. And this person had this incredible performance, kind of like singing different songs and kind of like putting to rest different parts of Empire. And that was the celebration for that night.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it was celebrated as the 250th anniversary of the United States. It was also celebrated where I was in Kentucky. My sister-in-law, Jacqueline, was born on the 4th of July in Honduras.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, as well as her dad, Ismael. He was also born on the 4th of July in Honduras. I believe Honduras. And so we had a big birthday party for them. And then after the birthday party, we went out on the porch and there was fireworks for their birthday.
Wow.
Which some people like and some people don't. Yeah, the neighbor. When I say there were fireworks, I mean the neighbors were shooting them off, not my family.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I've got a lot of neighbors that shoot off fireworks too.
Yeah, and so I do have a song that Carmencita, that's Jacqueline's dad's stepmom, Carmencita sang "Feliz Cumpleaños." Here's a little bit of the "Feliz Cumpleaños" party from Kentucky on the 4th of July, 2026.
De tu cumpleaños y Dios le ha dado felicidad. Para alumbrarte y así desearte prosperidad. Todos juntos. Felicidades.
Talking about God, the Christian birthday song there. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Here's another clip from Kentucky. I don't know what it's about. The title is "The Ways of the World." I do not know it. I do not know what it could be. But hang on, I gotta stop the other clip. Stop the other clip. Stop. Okay. Now this one is one called Ways of the World. I think I probably embarrassed myself saying something on here. I don't know what it is.
I was walking around the corner of the house this afternoon, and where the downspout in the gutter comes off, there's a spider web. And there's a dragonfly, a little dragonfly that was stuck in the spider web. And I didn't know how long it had been stuck there, if it was dead or still alive. And so I put my finger out towards it, and it grabbed hold of my finger, my index finger, and I pulled it slowly away from the spider web. And I had gotten it a couple inches away, maybe in, but its wings were sticking to the web. And it lost the grip on my finger and sprung back towards the web, wings first. And so I tried again and put my finger up next to it, and it grabbed my finger again, and I slowly pulled it away. And I was trying to knock the web off of the wings, but I wasn't able to. And again, it wasn't able to hold on and sprung back to the web. And I was kind of trying to figure out how to pull it out. And then the spider came running across the web and pounced on the dragonfly, grabbed it, and the dragonfly arched its back. And there was this whole wrestling thing, and the spider was like biting at a thing or doing whatever the spider was doing. And the dragonfly was writhing and I turned around the corner and walked away, because, you know, sometimes you just can't think too hard about these things, you know? The ways of the world.
All right. And was it cruel of me to try to take away the spider's dinner? What do y'all think?
It's hard to know if there is a... Like, I think if a dragonfly was caught in a cobweb, if, like, it was an abandoned web, then... Because it was already there. You don't know how long it's been stuck there.
That's true.
If the spider hadn't already been eating it, then I think it's fine to remove it. But, like, if the spider caught it and the spider's eat... I think because the spider came out, then, like, yeah, you got to leave that be.
Yeah.
That belongs to that spider. It was a successful catch.
Yeah.
And but I think it's fine to try to free it if there hadn't been a spider there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they leave webs up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I have another song here. So also on my travels, I spent Juneteenth in Annapolis, Maryland, and went to the Annapolis Juneteenth celebration. That was nice. And off the stage, they played this song.
I've been walking with my face turned to the sun. Weight on my shoulders, a bullet in my gun. Oh, I got eyes in the back of my head, just in case I have to run. I do what I can when I can, while I can for my people. While the clouds roll back and the stars fill the night, that's when I'm gonna stand up, take my people with. I can feel it in my bones. Early in the morning, before the sun begins to shine, we're gonna start moving towards that separation. Salvation, and I fight with the strength that I got until I die. So I'm gonna stand up, take my people.
Cynthia Erivo with Stand Up from the movie Harriet, about Harriet Tubman. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie, still live in the studio with Aaron and Emily. So I have another clip that I'm interested in playing. But before I do that, I want to make some announcements. This other clip I've played before, but I like it. I want to play it again. And that's Gina talking about Amazon and getting rid of her Amazon account. Really important for justice. But I want to announce that there will be Bike Lab tomorrow, Saturday, July 18th at 12 Northern Avenue, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Come learn to fix your bike, scavenge bike parts, or just borrow tools, or just hang out and enjoy some bike company. And I make no promises, but Paige usually has watermelon for us on hot summer days. It's very nice. Thanks, Paige. If you can find more information for that on the Pedal People website, if you look up pedalpeople.com/bikelab, just look up Bike Lab. Just look up bike workshops in Northampton. I think the Bike Lab will come up. We have bikes also that if you need a bike, you can fix a bike up and ride away on one and hopefully give us some money or labor in exchange. What else? Let me play this clip by Gina. Oh, I know what else. I'm forgetting all my events. But so today's Friday. So many things happen in a world. There's Bike Lab. Oh, there's a weekly peace vigil downtown Northampton from 11 to 12 at the main intersection of King and King Pleasant Main Street. There's also the Northampton Saturday Farmers Market right there on Gothic Street. Ultimate Frisbee, 3 p.m. Saturdays at the skate park if there's any pickup Ultimate players out there. And I'll stop right there. All right. Here's Gina. Gina is someone I was fixing bikes with a little while ago.
Thursday, June 11th, 2026. Gina and I are here fixing bikes. Gina, you were just telling me something that you did thinking about the environment and other impacts. Can you continue what you were saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was pretty proud of myself because I got rid of my Amazon account, and they make it pretty hard to get rid of. But you have to say you don't want it, and then you have to follow up, and then you have to like agree that you're not gonna do. It's like a 3-step process, so they really make it hard so that you can be like, oh, you know, yeah, never mind, it's too hard. I'll just keep
it.
But yeah, I realized that the ease of it, you know, I would be like, oh yeah, I need this. Oh yeah, I need this. And then what I was doing is it would be like, okay, do you want things in separate boxes to, you know, to help? And I'd be like, no, I need this today. Uh-huh. So, you know, when you think about these trucks going back and forth, I would be like, yeah, no, I need this day. So, you know, the vehicles and all of the pollution and everything were more because I decided that I needed it sooner. So the trucks were going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then I also realized that once I got it, then I would be like, oh, I don't actually need this. So then I would spend multiple days being able to figure out what I was going to return. So then I was just taking all kinds of time deciding what I was going to return. And then I would take my free time to return it all. Uh-huh. So again, taking up all that time and going back and forth, you know, again, wasting gas and the pollution and everything to return everything. And it was just, it was too much. It was too much for so many different reasons. Right. So I finally got rid of it and I feel so much more at ease. And then once I did, then I was like, oh, well, I still need this maybe or that maybe. But then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go to Etsy or maybe I'll, you know, look on Marketplace or some, you know, try to get it free or try to get it at a reduced price. So then I decided that I was going to do more local and not, you know, this evil 1%.
How long had you had the account?
Oh God. probably 10 years. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a long time.
Huh. How, what, like, did it affect your, what did your family members think about you ending the account?
My daughters were very proud of me. Some of my friends are proud, but they're like, I can't see myself doing it. My daughters are 20 and 21. I have a 9-year-old also, but it, you know, she doesn't really get it that much. But my older daughters, you know, think it's evil and they don't use it.
Yeah. But the thing you say about the ease, they just make it so easy to just buy stuff.
Yeah, it's one click. It's literally, and you know, and you can set it up so that it's just, you don't even have to think. You're just like, and then you can add things. Super easy. You're just like, you just like swipe, and then all of a sudden you've added all of this stuff to your cart, and then it's going to come, and then you can, you know, you can do it so that it's overnight. And yeah, like I said, I didn't even think about before I bought it. It was just every day I was doing it. I would be like, oh, I need this. Oh, I wouldn't even put much thought into it. I would just be like, I need this. I need that. And then I didn't, you know, like I would think twice about it, but I've already bought it.
Was there anything that like was sort of like a tipping point for you to make you think about things differently?
I guess I got to the point, because, you know, I had said it, like, so many times. Like, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then I realized that, but I always had, you know, returns to do. I always had, well, this is going to be coming in, so I can't do it yet. Oh, I have all these returns, so I can't do it yet. So I realized that, okay, once I do, like, this is the day I'm going to get rid of all my returns, I can do it. And then I was like, okay, everything's done. Everything's settled. And now is the time.
Wow, good for you.
Gina talking about ending her Amazon account made me think, oh, I wonder if there's 12-step programs for getting off of Amazon. So I did a web search, and what came up is how to quit Amazon, a step-by-step guide to ending this, something like this, to ending your toxic relationship with Amazon. How to finally break up with Amazon, a drop in the ocean, quitting Amazon and Amazon Prime, how to stop shopping on Amazon, how I broke up with Amazon, a practical guide, how to avoid Amazon and why, 10 ethical alternatives on WikiHow. And then we have Amazon.com, 12-step programs, books. So you could probably buy a book on Amazon about how to, you know, stop, how to get disconnected from Amazon.
Yeah, they'll sell you anything.
Yes, they will. Do you have any experience to relate?
Yeah, I don't buy things on Amazon, but the thing that I'm thinking about is there's this kid that comes into my shop, Tyrese, and he has a gas mini bike, which I don't work on. And he comes in, which is, I mean, I like this kid, and I want him to be safe, and he comes in with a thing that is not working the best, and so I try to help him with it, but I don't know how to work on this thing. But sometimes he'll come and he'll say, I need this part for it, and I'll be like, okay. And he'll be like, can you order this for me? And I'll like look it up, and I have found a shop that sells parts for it, but he's always like, can we order it on Amazon? I was like, I'm not gonna order it on Amazon, but like, you probably know somebody else with an Amazon account if you want to try to get them to order it for you. Like, why are you coming to me for that?
Does he have any, do you connect at all on why you don't want to order it on Amazon?
I haven't really gotten into that. Yeah. But I probably should. I probably should try to talk to him more about why do we not want to buy things from Amazon? But he's just like, if we get it from Amazon, we can get it tomorrow. I'm like, but like, if we get it from somewhere else, we can try to make sure it's actually the thing we want. And
How about you, Emily?
Yeah, I did cancel my account, I think, several years ago. And they do make it really hard. Yeah, I remember that. There was like so many kind of catches going through that process. And definitely talking to family members about it pretty continuously. And I know that that figuring, I'm going to be referring to some of those lists there because those are good resources, especially for folks with some family members that are just with some health issues and that they really rely on some of those those things, but finding alternatives, there are resources out there.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks for listening to Out There today. My live guests in the studio here are Aaron and Emily, visiting from Pittsburgh, and Aaron from the Solar System Housing Co-op in Pittsburgh. Are you all looking for any housemates, or are you all set?
Assuming,
or it depends if Emily moves in or not.
It depends if Emily moves in, but I think if Emily moves in, we might actually have all the rooms full for the moment.
How many people? Well,
that will be 8 people, okay. Which is many more than when you were visiting last. Yeah. Okay.
You welcome visitors?
We welcome visitors. We love visitors.
You want to check out like a housing co-op and that kind of community?
Yeah, if you're passing through Pittsburgh.
Why are you called the Solar System?
We're on Solar Street. Okay. And yeah, we've got a few buildings. Okay. That's all we got.
Amazing neighborhood. Very hilly and surrounded by trees and all that. Yeah. So the Florence Thursday night concerts, free concerts in front of the Florence Civic Center, they're happening Thursdays from 6:30 to 8. And I'm trying to get the Orbitron at, well, I was going to have it on Thursday the 30th, but then since I might be going back to Kentucky sooner than that, I might try to have it for next week, next Thursday the 23rd. Feel free to contact me if you want to know if the Orbitron's going to be at the Thursday night concert. It's going to be really fun. The Orbitron's like a human gyroscope you can stand in. It's like three concentric rings. You strap your feet in, and then you reach your arms above your head. You hold onto the rails, and you tilt and twist your body this way and that, and you can spin, you can rock, you can spin upside down, you can get whirl and spin around and up and
whoa. Yeah.
Wow.
like you're in outer space or something.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. You might have to come back to Northampton. Mm-hmm. When are you coming back from Vermont?
Oh, we're trying to get down to Pennsylvania by Monday morning.
Okay. Yeah,
it's a short turnaround.
Well,
thank you for spending time here in the studios of Valley Free Radio with me and Out There.
And yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so exciting. So good to be here.
And thank you for helping out at Cans for Cancer this afternoon. Thanks for fixing bikes and contributing to bike culture in Pittsburgh, Aaron, with your bike shop there. What's your bike shop called?
Bike shop is called Makeshift Bikes.
Okay. Any final words, Emily? Oh,
thanks for having us.
All right. Great to have you. Here's some of the music from last night's concert in Florence. And the band was Tony Silva, I think. And stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And at 6, Civil Politics. Table of Contents, Fridays at 10. You can see the listing of all the Valley Free Radio programs, the program schedule, that's what you call it, online at valleyfreeradio.org. Oh, and while you're there, you can always donate, too. We're an all-volunteer-run station, as you can tell by my technological prowess.